Good evening, gentlemen. We are technically starting a new series on the Jewish home. How to build a relationship, how to build a home. And I want to begin by asking you a very simple question. No one has to answer, but you're all invited to answer. Why do we get married? What do we expect from a marriage, from a home, from a relationship? One at a time.
Children.
Okay. What else?
I mean, I've heard the answer you've quoted.
You say what you think. Why are you getting married?
Start of a Jewish family.
Start a Jewish family, okay. Why are we getting married?
I don't want to be alone.
Oh, finally someone who's honest. You don't want to be alone. All right, that's true. That's one of the driving forces. It's one of the reasons people don't get divorced. It's really scary to be alone. Yeah, it's true. It's in the verse in Psalms, it says, Hashem binds a person in marriage, in shackles. So, one of the commentaries says, what are the shackles that hold you in marriage?
Why is it true? So you don't want to be alone.
The shackle is you don't want to be alone. What?
Is it true?
I didn't follow.
The concept of ball and chain.
There are people who like to be alone. I know it is true. I've experienced it.
Pick up the ball.
I know it is true. I always go too fast. But why?
Why what?
Why is it true?
Why is it true that people don't want to be alone?
Why is it true that
No. I'm saying it's what that fear of being alone, will very often that's the glue that keeps a person in marriage. I'm saying, well, we'll get there. But I want to see what else. Why are we getting married?
Split the chores and all.
Split the workload. Yeah, okay.
What, tax breaks?
We will not identify to the women who said which answer here, but they might recognize your voice.
Create the context that we complete our job.
Oh, we can do a better job doing our job, living our lives in this world with a partner. You guys understand that your answers can very much define who you marry. You just need to marry a woman of childbearing age. I'm saying if the only thing you need is someone who could bring kids to the world, I'm saying if that's the definition, okay,
that's not the only.
I understand, but I'm trying to point out that what we say here can very much define what we're looking for. He just needs someone on the paper for his IRS form. The flip side is that if our answer is I don't want to be lonely, then you could marry someone who's 65, who can't have kids, and you're 29, and what difference does it make? We'll be good friends. She'll be like my mommy. I'm saying I want us to understand the importance of defining what are we going for here. And it's not only a question of what you look for, it's also a question of what your expectations are within marriage and what your expectation is you're going to give. You ask the average person, how's your marriage? You know what the average person says? It's terrible. Oh, I shouldn't have told you guys that. I'm sorry, you're all bachelors. But it's the truth. Why? Because people's expectations are far off base. If people would really think about what they're married for, then they could be very, very happy.
What if your expectation is just to have a healthy family?
What if your expectation?
Just to have a healthy family.
I'm willing to hear you out, but as Socrates says, you'll have to define your terms. In a minute, let's hear that. What does loving mean? What does family mean? Does loving mean like my son said to my daughter? My daughter came to my son and said, let's play house. So my son's already old, and he says, great idea. what do you want to be? She said, I'll be the wife. He says, can I be the husband? He says, yes. So he says, fine, I just got home from work. Could you take off my shoes for me? So I looked at him and I said, where did you get that from? You never saw me do that, right? Yeah. So he says, wait, I'll get to the socks in a minute. I said, you never saw me do that either. And he says, but we're playing house. She wants to be my wife. What's wrong? Right? Let her serve me. In a minute, you'll be able to make me a drink, he tells her. Suddenly, she doesn't want to be his wife anymore. What does a loving family mean? I'm saying we're going to have to define it. It's important because to one person, a loving family is, like one person said, of course my wife cuts my toenails. How could I bend down and cut my own toenails? What, are you kidding? Right? And to our mind, that's not realistic. Maybe to yours. I don't know. I'm saying it's a cultural thing. To some people, it is. I'm saying there are cultures, I didn't mean it jokingly, there are cultures where, of course the wife cuts the husband's toenails. I don't know if he cuts hers. I don't know. But there are... So, what else did we hear over here? What did you say?
To split the chores.
Better marry a muscle woman, right? She could take on a lot of chores. Mrs. Clean. But I'm saying, we're going to have to face the question, both pre-marriage and post-marriage. You know, what are the common claims after people get married? I married a lemon, right? She just got pregnant, and she's not doing anything. And anything I bring her to eat, she vomits. And every minute she's kvetching. She's the world's biggest kvetch. I were married all of 3 months, and I'm cleaning up vomit all day. And she's yelling at me that I'm not doing a good job. Wait a second. What about splitting our chores? Yes, what did you say? What are we looking for when we get married? Right. So we come to our wife and say, my job was to build a settlement. My job was to be the world's greatest orator. You have to work with me housing all these Machon Meir guys every Shabbos, Monday and Tuesday, because I have to fulfill my role in the world. Really? Not sure she's going to be so happy with that. We have to define, what are we looking for? And what are we trying to do? And what is marriage anyways? Why would you go into it? You think you're splitting the chores, you're getting double the chores. I know she'll do your laundry and iron your clothing. Wait, you will have more work, not less work. You have more responsibility. Suddenly you have to feed the family. Suddenly you have to take time to listen to what's bothering her. It's not only she will listen to you, you will also listen to her. And she'll have much more to tell you than you'll have to tell her. Why are we getting married? Do we have any more reasons? Gentlemen, the reasons we've said until now are interesting. What? Because of her family. So the Talmud says, he who marries a woman for his her wealth is promised. Her family's pressuring you to marry her. Okay, that's not a good reason. Why?
Also, maybe you like her family, besides just her.
Okay, so do we have anything else to say, gentlemen?
Social aspects.
Right, it's not socially good to walk into places single. At a certain age, it already becomes weird. Yeah. They look at you funny. So you just need a dummy or something, you know, hold her on, you know. Just hold on to my hand when we go places. Say hi, nod, wave. Yes, I hear.
That's what inflatable dolls are.
Right.
What?
Okay. So let's start from the beginning.
He said dumb.
Let's start from the beginning. We just began the Torah. In the beginning of the Torah, it says, "Ul Adam lo matza ezer kinegdo." Man could not find anyone who would be an ezer kinegdo. What does that mean? So Chazal tell us, man tried to copulate with every animal. Thus, that seems abnormal. But it says, man said, everyone has a partner. Who's supposed to be my partner? I'm odd man out. So he tried sleeping with every animal. Like now, with some animals, it might have been a better experience than with his wife. If you're talking about the physical experience, I wouldn't know. But I'm saying, if that's the question, I you could imagine that a teddy bear might be more cuddly. I have no idea. But at any rate, the even in intimacy, we don't look at it as a physical act alone. We look at the physical as the vehicle for something greater. And that's the same thing with marriage. Marriage is supposed to be a vehicle for something greater, but we're not yet there. Let's begin with some basic concepts. I think everything you guys said is real and true. Azer, she's going to help me. She's supposed to do some of the chores. She's supposed to do some of the cooking and cleaning. And yes, you'll get a tax write-off for her. Yes.
That's a joke.
So yes, there is the practical aspect. There is the camaraderie. Supposed to be my best friend. Supposed to be the person I want to share my life with. It's supposed to be, Hashem created us that when we reach a certain age, some people different ages, but by a certain age, you're supposed to want to share your life with someone of the opposite gender. Talking to a guy isn't the same as talking to a girl, and you want to share with her what's going on in your life. Then you discover it's more complex talking to her than you thought, and sometimes you wonder how you can talk to her. But that's, we will get to that later on in our series. But all of that is partially true. Let's touch on some more aspects that we might not have thought about. Yes, loneliness is a huge factor. It's tremendous. It's true that a person is created and that they are far happier in marriage, even though often in marriage they think they'd be happier without it, but they are. The truth is that a person is. Some people, when they divorce, continue the divorce because they can't bear the idea of not having to do with the other person. Even fighting with the other person is better than not having anything to do with them, because then you're completely alone. So people subconsciously keep the fight going, because then I still have something to do with them. I'm yelling at them, but I have something to do with them. I'm still connected. The worst thing is if you have nothing to do with me. So we definitely don't want to be lonely. That's true. But there's more. There's much more. I want to touch on things that you guys might not have mentioned. You guys are very nice. I want to be more brutal, okay? Let's start with some things that are a little bit, let's touch some nerves if it's okay with you. First of all, yes, Hashem created us that men have a drive, and a man wants to be married to a woman, and intimacy is a major component. Proof of the pudding is that when they took away the desire for intimacy, people weren't getting married. All the altruistic reasons just failed. So there's definitely the component that Hashem created us that we want to be with a woman, and that's how Hashem created us, and it's a normal, important part of marriage. But don't go on a date telling her that, right? That's not something to discuss. We keep that modest, right? But it's a component. It's very appropriate that you guys were uncomfortable to put that on the table, but Chazal put it on the table for us. Chazal said, everyone knows why you're getting married. That's definitely a level of need that every man has, and every woman is. I would go a step further. There's the physical need. There's also the emotional need. There's a need to love. There's a need to be loved. There's a need to give. There's a need to receive. But here's where I want to be brutal. We all have parts of our personality that we are not very proud of. We have parts of who we are that we wish no one knows about, that we try to keep in a hidden place. And when we get married, what we would really like is someone who will accept us and love us and know those parts of our personality and love us with that. And the major challenge is, can we be that person for someone else? Am I willing to have a spouse who is an income poop? I had the funniest experience the other day. Someone was sitting next to me at an event, and every second they were spilling something. So you know how it is to sit next to someone and spill something every second, like jumping every second? So they spill once, and they spill twice, and then they say, can you pass that? And you're quick to pass it, because if they try to reach for it, you know things are going to spill. So here's how it goes. The person says, can you pass that? And I'm quick to pass it, and they decide I wasn't quick enough. So they lean forward, and then it's this ripple effect. The plate goes on the floor. The bottle goes on the floor. You know, it's like dominoes, and you're jumping. You don't want to embarrass the person. Okay. So the only problem is, this isn't the first time I've been with this person. And what are you supposed to do?
Bring a spare shirt.
Bring a spare shirt, yeah. So you wonder, what do you do if you're married to such a person? What happens if you discover the day after your wedding that your wife can't spill herself a cup of juice without spilling it on you? What happens if your wife is a lousy driver? Where did that poll come from? I swear it wasn't there a minute ago. Makara. So what do you do? You say, honey, I'll get you good driving lessons. You have to realize it's dangerous if you don't see poles. The next thing is you won't see people. You can give a whole lecture, right? And I'm legitimate. Wait a second. She's endangering people. And if she's spilling, so you tell her about spatial classes. How you can... Maybe we should get you glasses, maybe better eyeglasses. Pause. What did we just say? We want someone who will accept us and love us and know our faults and won't fault us for our faults. Can we be that person for someone else? Can I live with someone who has bad breath and doesn't bother doing anything about it without saying something about it? You know, the Ashkenazi custom is that you fast on the day of your wedding. And what happens if you forgot your fasting today? So you show up to the Cheder Ichud, you're... No. Yes, sir.
But what if she would have liked if you mentioned these things to her? Like, if she doesn't mind doing something better, if it would please you? Like, maybe she just isn't aware.
Constructive criticism?
Yeah, constructive criticism. Like, I wouldn't mind if she told me things that I wasn't aware of that bothered her that I could improve myself.
When do you know about who you are? When do you accept her criticism as constructive? And you know that. So this condition.
There are many answers to your question. The first point is that you said what everyone here is thinking. Okay? Let's just call a spade. So don't take it personally, I'm going to answer you, but I firmly believe that everyone sitting around here was thinking what you dared to say. And if they weren't thinking about it, then when they'd be faced with the wife, they'd be thinking what he said, which is, I'm sure she'd want to know. I would want to know. I would want people. And it's not personal. I'm just explaining to her. It's not personal, right? So we're all very good at this not personal bit. So guys, it's not personal. When you take off your socks tonight, don't put them next to your bed. When you floss, it goes in the garbage. When you leave in the morning, it's really not personal. You could empty the garbage pail in your room. And it's not personal, but people who are couth would clean the toilets in their room. You wouldn't wait for someone. It's not personal, guys. Now, when you come down to the lunchroom, I could tell you a whole list of things that are really not personal. No one here has one iota of an inclination to listen to anything I've said. if you're one of those guys who drops their socks next to their bed at night, figuring I'm going to put them in the hamper tomorrow morning, you were going to do it tonight anyways. If you're one of the guys that flosses, you get into bed and you drop the floss next to your bed, telling yourself every night, tomorrow I'll throw it out, but there's a pile of floss that you're going to do it anyways. If you're one of those guys that cleans out your ear as you come out of the shower and you put it in your pocket, telling yourself, I'll toss it out, you always find it inside the laundry. And if it's not personal, but your wife just happened to mention to you, you know, you shouldn't do that, you know, it can ruin the washing machine. You know, the washing machine did cost us 7,000 shekel. You insisted on getting the best, so it shouldn't get stuck. And the technician did tell us the last time he came to fix it that it was all your ear Q-tips or toothpicks that you keep forgetting in your shirt pocket that are destroying the rubber of the machine. And she'd say, it's really not personal. I'm not sure you would take it that way. Now, if she told you it's really not personal, but you could use your time much better than watching the World Series. Now, I know it's been a century since the Cubs won, and you've been waiting for this, but ask yourself, in the grand scheme of things, you can see on the news who won and who didn't, and you could learn Torah, and that time is far more valuable. Now, it's not personal, but you also want to be a person of value. Do you really want your kids seeing you there doing that? So we can say about a lot of things, honestly, they're not personal, but we men...
giving, like, the example of the extreme.
That's extreme. I was being very gentle.
Well, you're making it sound
like... I was being so gentle.
Saying all those things at one time.
Oh, no. I didn't say they're relevant to you. I'm not your roommate. I have no idea.
No, I mean, obviously, you wouldn't, like, overload your spouse with...
Yeah, but no one here was ready to listen to one of them. There wasn't a single person here who was listening to this saying, yes, I should clean the toilet. I am a yeshiva.
Constructive criticism.
Right, and yet no one here thought to do it. No one. Not one. No one's arguing with me.
Sometimes
it's not out of respect.
Much.
It's because...
But that is not personal. I wouldn't be offended with any of those things or whatever.
Pause.
Because it's not
That's because I said it, and I'm not going to say it again tomorrow, and I'm not your wife, and it's not, and we're not going to see the same toilet, and I won't tell you.
Things I haven't put an effort to... don't bother me. If somebody says, can you do this, that instead, and I didn't put an effort to me, it doesn't bother me. Somebody say, put your socks there or whatever. That doesn't bother me because I didn't put an effort to. But if I put on a, you know, made something nice or whatever, something you put effort into, you criticize for that. That's personal. But
yeah,
you didn't put effort to, and things...
So I don't understand. Let's take this following scenario. Okay? Your wife sends you out to do a shop. You stand and you do the shop. There's a long line. It's very hard to get through the supermarket. You finish getting through the supermarket, and now there's a long line at the checkout counter. You're at the checkout counter, and they tell you, we don't accept this credit card. We don't accept that credit card. Back and forth, your credit card. Right? She's standing there, and she can't see the coupon you brought and the receipt, and the people behind you in line are all making funny noises about why it's taking you so long. And you put up with all that, and then you schlep it all up in the rain, and you come home, and your wife was, you know, it's very nice. I really appreciate the effort you put in. But I begged you that I wouldn't have to carry the detergent up. And I told you it's very hard for me now that I'm 8 months pregnant carrying the detergent up, and I really want to do your laundry. It's not personal. And you go, I got the detergent. And she says, right, you got the one you're allergic to. You remember you asked me not to use that one? You asked me. It's not personal. I want to use the one that you asked me for. And I don't think so. I think that when we come home...
Is it just another brand? I will be annoyed.
Reality is...
brand, but something allergic to say thank you.
Reality is that we all don't like criticism, and it doesn't matter how impersonal the criticism is.
There's a lot of constructive criticism, which, like, it's good for you and it helps you. Like, I would like to hear something that I'm blind to that I do that annoys people and that isn't good for myself. Like,
can I tell you something? It's not real.
Are you going to give me constructive criticism?
For sure.
Go ahead.
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
You're not. That's my point.
Okay. I think reality is that we all take criticism personally, and it's not it's unreal of us. It's the mistake that I think all men make. We'll all say, I didn't mean it personally. I really didn't mean it personally. Your wife asks you, were the challahs I baked this week as good as last week? Because I thought they weren't as good. I thought I left them in the oven too long, and they were too dry this week. You go, you're right. Well, that's it. You're going to, for weeks on end, you don't like my cooking, and it doesn't matter what I do. You say everything I do is bad, and I can never be good enough for you. Wait, did I say that? You said you left them in the oven too long. Right, but you said you're right. David, it's the first class. Wait.
But that's different.
It's our first class of the semester. Let's wait.
But like something like the Q-tip example, why would you take that personally? That's like something very innocent. You have no personal investment in that behavior.
Fine. Let's move on. Take my word for it for now, okay? We'll get there.
Get married.
We'll get there. Let's move on, okay?
No, but that was effort. Yeah. She put effort to it. Or if another person, if you put effort into something, you don't...
Guys, this wasn't the point. It was a side point. Let's move on. We'll get back to this point. I'm not illustrating it well because it's not our focus right now. I don't think what any of you are saying is right. I think you're not being realistic, and I think I'm not expressing it well enough. It's not the main point. We started with the discussion of why are we getting married? And the point I was trying to make is we're getting married. One of the main things we want is acceptance. We want someone to love us, including our weak points, and not to criticize us for them. And you said, there's constructive criticism. I tried to take a class that's really one or two classes and encapsulize it in 10 minutes. It didn't work. I didn't explain it well. Let's move on. Yes?
Is there an inyan to accept someone else, and if they don't, if you have a feeling that, like, all the things that you just alluded to, that you have to go through that to deal with it and while also accepting them?
I didn't follow what you were just saying. If she gives me all that criticism?
And yeah, I'm supposed to just take it and then also accept it and not...
Let's move on. It's not our point. It's a long answer, and what you guys are trying to do is take a whole class and ask me, and let's leave it. It's its own class. You want, I have other series, we discuss it. I can give you the answer in a nutshell, but then it's going to happen like he said. You won't agree with me, and then it doesn't always work to make a sandbite. Right. So the answer is, in a nutshell, when you think you've criticized her once, you've criticized her 100 times. So every piece of criticism you could keep to yourself, you will only thank yourself for it later. And when...
אני גם מבין.
בוא נדבר, אתה תהיה ער עוד שעה?
לא,
יפה שעה אחת קודם, אז מחר על הבוקר, בסדר?
מחר על הבוקר.
מצוין.
מתי שנוח לך תחילה?
עדיף.
בשבע, שמונה, לא.
מצוין.
שמונה וחמישה, שמונה ועשרה,
שופה.
מחילה, לא נתן.
אני מסכים איתך. מסכים.
It's like not making it personal.
What?
You know, the famous rabbi, I don't remember his name, that said that he buried his wife after 40 years of marriage. And you have a possibility to say sorry to...
we're going off on tangents. Let's get back to the main point. We've got 3 minutes left. In a nutshell, we have a whole class on it. You're welcome to go online. We have 6-8 other series. Listen, if this point interests you, this wasn't our point tonight. Tonight we're going to discuss why we get married, what we're trying to get out of marriage, and therefore what we have to put into marriage. And what we've discussed so far... we want someone who is accepting of us. Accepting of us specifically where we have a hard time with ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, can we be that person for someone else? Can I accept them or can I give them constructive criticism? Another thing we want is companionship. Can I be a companion for someone else? What does it mean to be a companion for someone else? Well, splitting the chores. It's Friday night. I believe it is dead wrong of a person to bring home a newspaper on Friday. Because you, a partner for chores means that Friday night you don't sit down with the newspaper and read it, or a magazine. You help. Everyone's tired Friday night. If we're partners for chores, then why can't I put my 2 cents in? She's been working so hard Friday. Why am I not there for her Friday night? We're looking for a friend. So then does it make sense that on Matzei Shabbos, I'm out on the town with the guys? When exactly am I having time with my wife? There are key points that will define our marriage if we can force ourselves to answer the question, what do I want in a marriage? And after I discuss what I want, I have to ask myself, then what do I have to put in? It cannot be that people get married and they don't have a date night. We're married already 5 years. On the contrary, then you need the time together even more. You want to build a relationship. We're in a road. We already know one another. It doesn't work that way. Friendship is something you have to invest in. But my friend called me and he needs my help painting his house. You don't understand. It's my best friend. And the answer is, I do understand. But your best friend's supposed to be your wife. And you have to find the time. And that means that it will overrule other things. But I want to go to a shiur. Right. Now, it's like a business. When you make a business, if you can have a mission plan, if you can have a mission statement, then whenever you approach a juncture, you are going to have an answer by looking back at your mission statement. Well, I want to challenge all of you to next class to show up with a mission statement for your marriage. What is the mission statement? Because you will have challenging moments such as your wife made a stupid mistake. She gave her credit card number to someone who told her she would win the lottery. The person didn't tell her that she'd have to buy 500 tickets and that it would end up costing you $15,000. So now you say, well, what am I supposed to do with the debt she just put me into? I can't even take a lawyer to fight it. What am I doing with the $15,000? So I saw a case where the guy's best friend told him, divorce her, finish. What do you need this liability for? You guys are only married 4 months. There are no kids. What do you need this for? So the guy asked me, and I said, you're crazy. Over $15,000 if she's your best friend? If you're building your whole life together for $15,000? He said, I'm going to go into debt. I said, and if you go into debt, so $15,000, you'll pay it off over 3-4 years. He says, and what about my dream about buying a car and buying a house? Okay, we make mistakes in life. It's not like she put a knife in your back. You know, there's we make mistakes. If we have a mission statement, if I'm looking to build something long term, if this is supposed to be my best friend, if this is the partner for everything life is that in everything that's meaningful in life, so then $15,000 shouldn't put it in question. And I'm not belittling $15,000. Don't get me wrong. I understand that that's a major chunk of a down payment for a house, etc. Depending on where, but it can be. So, again, the mission statement is very critical, and that's what I want us to crystallize. I was hoping to do this class, we'll have to take it into next class. What are we doing when we enter marriage? So the first point that should be on that mission statement is, this is for life. Marriage is for life. Marriage is not about, we're going to try this out. And this is something that men don't do. This isn't built in. It should be built in. But the nature of man is he enters marriage and he's very tempted to leave one foot on the diving board. And that's how you get hurt. He cashes out some of his ATM machine and he puts some where she doesn't know what he's got in his bank account or whatever. Men are going to... Our nature is that we don't want to put all our cards in. We're not going to put all our money in. We're not all in. And we have to change that. You're getting married... That means I'm investing in something long term. This is it. This is reality. We're building something. You want it to have meaning. You have to be willing to put yourself all in. There will be hardships and things I didn't expect down the road. Right? Got to figure out how to deal with it. Mission statement. All the points you guys made are valid, including his tax break. Better not be high up there on the list, you know. I want you to put a mission statement. What am I looking for? And we will be able to look back at that when we face all kinds of junctures in our marriage and say, what do I do now? It's date night, and they're pressuring me at work to show up for a meeting. What do I do? There are many junctures in life where I have to choose what's more important for me. And very often we try to tell ourselves, my marriage is important, I'm going to do it a different time. But we don't. My marriage is important, but. No buts. My marriage is important. It has to be number one. And again, the mission statement. I challenge you to have one for next week. I know we don't usually have homework in this class. But believe me, you guys have to think about it. It's not enough that I talk about it. What's on our mission statement for a marriage? To be continued, Bezat Hashem, next week.